This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:06 a.m. on Wednesday, the 7th of September. I'm Shazana Mokhtar together with Philip C. In about half an hour, we're going to compare our plans to introduce a premium visa pass to attract investors with Singapore's new visa to attract talent and expertise. But as always, let's start the morning with a recap on how global markets closed yesterday.
Well, after a nice Labor Day holiday, U.S. markets closed on Tuesday, all on a negative territory. The Dow was down 0.6%, S&P 500 down 0.4%, and the Nasdaq down 0.7%. Over in Asia, Nikkei closed flat, marginally up 0.02%, but both Hang Seng and FBM KLCI were down 0.1%, while the Shanghai Composite was up 1.4%, and Singapore's STI up 0.3%.
So for some thoughts on where international markets are heading, we have on the line with us Terence Wong, founder and CEO of Azure Capital. Terence, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, we are seeing publicly listed Chinese companies in the US starting to delist and move to the Hong Kong Stock Exchange instead. Do you think this trend will reinvigorate Hong Kong's capital markets? Or are these corporate exercises much ado about nothing?
Great morning here. Regarding this delisting threat, it is not exactly new. Anyway, it's been in talks for, a couple of years, a year or two right now. And I believe many shrewd funds have already acted. In fact, if you look at the numbers since 2021, U.S. investors in dual-listed Chinese companies have increasingly switched from ADRs to Hong Kong shares over the past year. And you just have to take, bellwether like JD shares. JD, for example, mid-2021, there only about a quarter of the JD shares were deposited in the Hong Kong market, but that proportion has actually surged to 77% by March 2022. And similarly, if you look at Alibaba, that has increased from 47% to 56%. So if anything, returning ADRs are subject to, I think, potential liquidity discounts if their primary trading markets shift to Hong Kong. Alibaba in 2021, on a daily basis, 4 billion US traded in the US markets, whereas the average turnover in Hong Kong for their shares were US $760 million. So it's really unclear whether the turnover in Hong Kong could surpass that of US once there is a total relisting of all its shares. But I think China would probably want to at least get some of the bigger shares or the better known names prop it up and get some of its investors in there. So there will be, I think, at least for a short to medium run, there will be some support for such shares.
And can we get your perspective on the travel hospitality industry? Because it is picking up full steam in Asia-Pacific as the region moves past the pandemic. Are airlines on your radar in terms of stock picks, or are they still facing too much volatility from oil prices at the moment?
This reopening play, right? We've been talking about it in Singapore like forever. Right after the lockdown, shortly after that, we thought, hey, it's going to like, that's in 2020 that, you know, things will pass. Early 2021, we'll see a grand reopening of hotels, the hospitality place, right, as well as the airlines. So we're very, very hopeful. But it's that there's like start again, stop again. But right now it's really opening, especially the skies. So I'm sure it's the same in Malaysia. We're trying to get tickets for holidays. You look at the rates, they're crazy. Many of them are doubled up since December 2019. I couldn't even recognize the prices, right? So if you're looking at the airlines, yeah, it looks interesting. But I think a good part of the run has come to pass. You take SIA, for example, July 2022 numbers, very, very strong, right? Passenger traffic crossed 2 million mark. That's the first time since COVID-19. And the passenger capacity was 4.9% higher than the month before. You can see the momentum starting to build significantly. And the passenger load factor hit 87.4%, which is the second highest monthly passenger load factor in its history, right? And it is only surpassed by December 2019's 87.6%. So it's only slightly lower in terms of load factor. And we're not even counting China right now, right? Because China is still very, very much close, and China was one of our major markets. But on the other hand, as you rightfully pointed out, volatile oil prices definitely remains a concern. SIA, big regional, big international airlines, right, is only 40% hedged at the average Brent strike price, I think, of what, $60, and that's 15 months running from all the way till first quarter of 2024, beyond which SIA is largely unhedged. So that is a big concern, especially with these these volatile times. Really, you cannot guess how the oil prices are going to go. So that's going to be a big question mark.
Okay.
And Hong Kong market, you know, it's going to reopen. So there's going to be big competition coming in from Cathay Pacific, the likes of the Cathay Pacific. That's something also to watch out for. In terms of regional airlines.
All right. Sticking to the topic of oil prices and, I guess, related fields, we are seeing the transition to electric vehicles starting to pick up pace. In terms of the EV supply chain within ASEAN, are there any companies here who might play a key role in this sector, either in supplying batteries or components?
Well, for EVs, and if you're looking at the region, one country pops up. That's Indonesia aims to be a key player for battery cell and EV manufacturing hub in Southeast Asia. It's expected to be the largest nickel producer by 2024, producing 1.4 million tons of nickel, mainly for stainless steel, and accounting for, I believe, you know, north of 40% of the global nickel production. That's big. And there's this growing nickel demand for EVs, and that opens up new opportunities, you know, to produce things like nickel sulfate for battery using unused ore, right? And the government plans to also develop an upstream to downstream battery supply chain to push this nickel production even further, from nickel mining and smelting, you know, all the way down to energy storage and battery recycling. So it's going to be a big thing in Indonesia.
Yeah, and I mean, just want to just deep dive on a specific stock, Build Your Dreams, BYD, China's EV darling. But, you know, it doesn't seem to be a darling with respect to the share price because it's on a five-month low. Is this weakness primarily due to Buffett selling down his stake, or is there something more that investors should know about?
Well, it's definitely that. As you can see them coming, as you can see it, Berkshire Hathaway like letting go of the stock. The stock is just nosediving. There's potential for the company, but then people are still feeling very, very uncertain about it. And understandably so. One of the biggest shareholders, one of the biggest cheerleaders for the company, has been scaling down. And he's known to be one of the best investors out there. So lots of uncertainty for the stock.
Mm. And sticking to the stocks, I guess, share prices of ride-hailing giants Grab and Gojek Tokopedia have been unimpressive since their respective listings. What do you think happened to them, especially since the hype around these two stocks was massive before they went public?
Hype is right. You know, there's this... Sorry, my chickens just woke up, so they're just a lot of noise right now. Next time we should have
they've
our
come
interview
to roost.
A little bit later.
Yeah, they've come to roost.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, anyway, the hype surrounding you know, Grab, Gojek, C, you know, that was the era of cheap money. Extremely accommodative, right? So people are just pouring in the money, and you can see them like raising money from Series A all the way down to Series EFGH, right? And people are willing to give better valuations because they know that there's a greater pool out there. But with interest rates rising, and you know, now there's a bigger convergence, people believing that they need to see a path to profitability. Companies that, you know, are throwing money out there for marketing purposes to acquire customers, I think the time has come, and you know, the day of reckoning, the period of reckoning has come. So they can no longer do it this way. Interest rates are rising. Mm-hmm. investors are a lot more discerning, right? And with interest rates rising, the problem is many of these tech companies, the startups, you know, they bank on, they are fueled by liquidity. So when interest rate rises, the actual valuation actually drops significantly. So you can see now, like I said, the day of reckoning has come. The share prices have moved and have really like nosedived.
Mm-hmm. Well, Terrence, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Terrence Wong, founder and CEO of Azure Capital, with cameo appearances from Rooster as well. They were both giving us their take on trends that he expects to see impacting markets in the days and weeks ahead.
Well, I think he was talking about, I think the Asian tech startups, I think, really struggling. And there was a very interesting story headline that came through the past 24 hours about tech workers at Shopee left, I think, in the lurch because their job offers were rescinded.
Mm.
So I think that's a very interesting development and trend. I think there's also a story last week about this Chinese engineer that came to Singapore to start his job in Shopee, but that offer was just rescinded. So I wonder if you're seeing now the tech startups which were hiring aggressively, you know, in the past 1-2 years, suddenly tapering it down quite much faster.
And it is a consequence of just the changing credit environment, yeah. Isn't it? Lots of cheap money before, not so cheap anymore. That will have an effect on how these tech firms grow in the future. It is 7:17 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. And when we come back, we're going to be discussing whether the government can ever tackle the Sisyphean issue of right-sizing the civil service. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.